T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Mark Grody as Chris Farley.
I think I'd like to hear Mark Grody doing the Chris Farley Show with Mike Ditka next. He's talked to Dick Butkus. Happy birthday, by the way, to Dick Butka. And now he's talked to Singletary. He needs to get Ditka on the sideline.
Shut up.
It's possible.
Get your mouth shut.
The get your mouth shut game. Bears at Cincinnati in 87.
I 86.
To it earlier. It's 86.
Referenced
right.
Earlier today.
Oh, yeah. The get your mouth shut game. That's how I remember that Bears thrashing of the Bengals.
However you got to do it, man. Yeah. Boomer Esiason remembered.
Oh, yeah. And what I did not remember in his story about when he beat the Bears in 92, I was in his locker room that night and met his head coach, David Shula, trying to get him on the score the following day. It was a Monday night game. And he said, out of respect to Coach Ditka, I'm not going to come on and chirp tomorrow. But he gave me his victory cigar.
Oh,
David Shula says, I don't smoke these. Someone had just given him a cigar. It was a nice Arturo Fuente. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take your cigar. Thank you. So the score audience had to settle for the guy who kicked the game-winning field goal that day, the man in the size 6 shoe, Jim Breach. I booked him for the afternoon show. That's kind of how I rolled.
We're happy for you.
You should be. Button 48, deployment.
Size 6 shoe.
Yeah, size 6 shoe. Jim Breach.
Small feet make for better kickers?
I guess. You had a kicker, though, yesterday, just popping every, trying to get you over it in the Miami game.
Oh. I've been gambling since I was 16 years old on sports. Never seen anything like this. Never been on the other side of this. 10 field goals in a game for the under. I was on the over in Jets-Dolphins. They're just moving it up and down the field at will. 25-yard field goal, 31-yard field goal, 24-yard field goal. Every one guy makes 7 kicks.
What was the total?
It was 46. Okay. And the 46 and a half, something like that. And it
was a field goal fest.
A field goal fest. It's
hard to get overs that way.
But not even like 55-yard field goals or 45-yard, where you're feeling like, oh, I'm stealing these points. Get into the red zone and then go 3 and out and kick it from the 4-yard line.
Danny, you know what? In this era, though, I know you lost money on that, but you won money overall. Anytime
good
a kicker
weekend.
Goes 7 out of 7, he should be celebrated, right?
Hey, not in my house yesterday. I was angry. I just never... Never seen anything like the game flow, the game script. Just said that was an over game.
Yeah, I had a total. I had an over that bellied up also because the Detroit Lions were allergic to the Viking side of the field yesterday and stayed out of Minnesota territory most of the day. David Blau, not exactly a repeat performance from his debut against the Bears. He was awful yesterday. Yeah, go ahead and deep six Matt Patricia after the year. Put him on the list.
And Blau looking around. Trouble, second sack for
Danielle
Hunter.
Wow.
How about that right there?
That Karate Kid.
Choreography, they've got it going on.
Cobra Kai.
Say that again.
Cobra Kai. There's no Cobra Kai on SmackDown, I promise that. That's the real deal.
And it's underway now.
Yeah, I'm all in it.
Friday nights on Fox each and every week.
What the hell am I listening
Chris
to?
Chris Spielman and Tom Brenneman were at U.S. Bank Stadium yesterday, and he was sweeping the leg as well.
We love good movie reference in these broadcasts. My God.
He gets excited when there's a defensive play. My guy, Danielle Hunter, had 3 sacks yesterday of David Blau.
I look at him, and I look at myself, and I wonder how we are the same species.
Danielle Hunter?
Yeah, he is in good physical condition.
He's got long arms.
Yeah. I got long arms, too, but he's got really long cut arms.
Yeah, he can tie his shoes while standing up. He's down there, and still he tie his shoes without bending.
0% body fat. I'm just like, okay.
Not even. He just turned 25 years old. He's already got 50 sacks in his NFL career.
50?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
50, 51, and 52, I think, all came yesterday.
That's monstrous. I heard people today talking about how nothing good happened for the Bears with that NFL Sunday. And it was like, yeah, but the Lions were a 13-point underdog, and Washington was a 12.5, 13-point underdog.
Right.
It was exceedingly unlikely. Now, I know that if the Rams would have lost, that technically would have also been good for the Bears, and that was a pick'em one-point game. But the overwhelming likelihood going into yesterday was that within the division, nothing good was going to happen for the Bears.
I don't think anything should have been a huge consequence. Both of the teams above the Bears we're double-digit favorites. Were you expecting the Packers to lose at home to Washington?
I'm just saying, like it was. Enjoy your Sundays,
right.
And if the Bears are making these games meaningful for their own self-evaluation, and because they're now on a 3-game winning streak, it's very unlikely that you're going to get enough help.
Mm-hmm.
You dug yourself way too big of a hole.
I certainly don't mind Bearslessness on a Sunday. The NFL, especially at
great.
This point in the calendar, yeah, it's kind of nice, right?
I enjoyed it.
Sit there and have the whole day. You can flip around and find out what other teams are doing, and that's the great thing about having my package. And these are the Sunday ticket I'm talking about.
What are you talking about right over now?
The DirecTV Sunday ticket, the NFL package, which I am in my last weeks with because I'm switching distributors after this season. So I am getting my last licks in on what it's like to be able to watch every game in the country.
Well, if you ever come over to the streaming universe, even though I have Xfinity, but just, you know, there are other ways for you to get the NFL ticket without
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, it is still possible. So, but we got to get you on Netflix first.
Yeah, well, it's all happening in 2020, yeah.
Oh, that's
I'm getting
that's
technology
your year?
Technology coaching, yes. That's what I asked Van for my Christmas present. You spend a day in the house doing things for me.
That's a good present.
Yeah. Show me how to use television.
Okay, boomer.
No doubt.
That's all right. There's
no doubt.
Nothing wrong with
that.
I
need help. Grandpa needs help.
This hour on the Score brought to you by Seattle Sutton. Your good health is their true mission. So I know we don't do a ton of college football on the show, but there was the playoff that was unveiled over the weekend for the rankings, and I made biggest bet of the year on Clemson against Ohio State. Shep very much disagrees. I'm sure we will get into that. But I'm going in to put in some of the bets, and I'm looking at the lines for the look ahead for NFL and college this morning. What would you guess the line would be for Alabama, Michigan?
Citrus Bowl,
New Year's Day bowl game.
I would think Alabama would be a 10-point favorite, maybe 9.5.
Okay, Shep guessed 24.
When Danny texted me, and I knew something was off about it, I'm like, well, it's got to be bigger. It's not going to be smaller. It's Alabama and Michigan just got killed by Ohio State. It's got to be incredibly egregious. I'm going to guess 24.
Seven.
Is it seven? It's even lower than
seven
my
and a half
number.
Is what I just punched up at.
Well,
it's got to be
the fear of a letdown. I would think people get a bet Michigan because they think Alabama's not used to being in one of these games that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean they won't show up and kick the crap out of them.
Well, that's what happened last time they were in one of these 10 years ago.
Is that right?
Yes,
well, 10 years ago.
Well, they've been the game against I think it was Utah in 2014.
That was still a was it. BCS or whatever the New Year's Six was, though.
Right, and they lost. Yeah. I understand that the biggest reason is because Bama has 12 guys who can get drafted, and they might go 12 for 12 with none of them playing in the game.
Right.
And it's the new era of, which I support, by the way. You've made it to the end of your college career. If your team's not playing for a championship and these games aren't going to help your draft stock, don't risk getting injured.
No reason to.
Right? I have no problem with the players doing that. But Bama recruits at a different level than Michigan. Like, you're telling me that their backups that are getting their first chance to play in a meaningful game for Alabama are not going to be awesome football players and beat Michigan by more than a touchdown? That seems like stealing money to me. It feels like
it does to me, too. There has to be something else to it.
I don't know what it is.
Does Harbaugh have a good New Year's Day record?
Michigan killed last year against Florida. They lost by like 30 or something to Florida last year, I think it was the Peach Bowl.
Okay. So that goes that idea.
I have no idea.
It just feels like one of those. The only thing I'm worried of is like, what do they know that we don't know?
Right.
Because it seems so incredibly obvious.
It feels too good to be true, so it probably is.
Yeah, get in now before it starts climbing.
Oh, I did.
You're already in, huh?
Oh, I did.
Auburn has maybe the best defensive line, one of the best defensive lines in football. And what did Alabama hang on them last week with their backup quarterback?
right now.
They are not going to struggle to score points if they want to against Michigan.
Yeah, but Jerry Jeudy and like the, you know, their NFL prospects played in the Iron Bowl. They might not play in the Citrus Bowl.
How many of them have to sit for you to even think that this game's compelling?
I said sit 10 of them. Like if they got 12, Matt Miller says they got 12 guys, most on any team that he thinks could be drafted, sit all 12 of them. I'm fine. They're better than Michigan by 7 points. That is the programs are just in different stratospheres.
Yeah, that's a shockingly low number.
It's a shockingly it's low number. So I'm in. I'm making money this college football. Shep wants to bet not a paycheck. You want to bet a day of pay.
Yeah, day's pay
for Ohio State. So a day of your pay against a day of my pay.
What is that? $2? No, the line.
Oh,
in that game.
Yeah, it's Clemson minus two.
Clemson's minus two.
Even though they're the 3 seed and Ohio State's the 2 seed. I got it at 1.5 for a big number. So
that means money's coming in on Clemson then?
Yeah, money coming in on Clemson as it's open, but doesn't look like, I mean, it won't.
My first
plus
reaction is to take the points also, Shep. I don't watch a lot of Clemson football. I don't pretend to. But every time I've seen Ohio State, they have just been, that's a pro program.
Yeah, I mean, well, Clemson is too. Like Clemson, they're playing lights out. Like they're playing phenomenal football. And I think a lot of people saw them almost lose to North Carolina this year.
Yeah.
And reacted of, oh, they're done. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence stinks. It's like they had one bad day and they still walked out with a victory. Even though it came down to the last play of the game, they still walked out and won, and they beat everybody by 40 or so since then. Like,
yeah,
they're just
literally
fine.
They're averaging over 40 points a win.
And
since.
Their margin of victory is like at a historic rate. It's one of the highest margins of total victory in college football history. I think that also speaks to the ACC that sucks.
Yep.
And I think that if you're trying to judge it off of like the Big Ten championship, you had Penn State or you had Ohio State playing Wisconsin, that one second time they've played Wisconsin. It's tough to beat a team twice or at least throttle them twice when it's a good team that you play. And they're coming off back-to-back weeks of playing games against Michigan in Penn State. You can't tell me that they weren't a little bit, whether it's mentally exhausted, focus-wise, spent by the time that game kicked off on Saturday. Oh, and when it became time to put up or shut up. They went on, what, a 27-0 run in the third quarter?
Trust me, I bet Ohio State and lost because they ran out of time. That was a 62-minute game. They're
just
covering
ran out of time.
Right, just ran out of time. One of our favorite cliches. They would have covered the spread. Yeah, so I think Ohio State's really good. And I think Clemson would have been an even bigger favorite against LSU. But I think they would have been a favorite against both of them. So
you think Clemson's the best team in the country?
I do. And I think that Vegas agrees.
See, I would think that Vegas disagrees because I think they're seemingly trying to get you to bet on Clemson, which would mean they're going to make money off Ohio State.
I mean, they're...
Well, it's what the bettors think.
It's, yeah.
Right.
It's, yeah.
But and if money's coming in
the bettors
in on Clemson,
think Clemson is the better team. That's why they're the favorite.
Right. And I saw the look-ahead line for both matchups, and it was Clemson by 2 against Ohio State, Clemson by 3, 3.5 against LSU. But, well, I mean, it was just a prognostication. Obviously, the market has moved it in this way. But listen, they're very close, and that's going to be an awesome game, and it's two awesome programs. And this Ohio State team is better than the last time that they played Clemson when they got mollywopped and the time before it when they played Clemson and they got mollywopped.
Two shows in a row.
Yeah.
They got us a mollywopping.
Urban Meyer was not able to hang with Dabo. So we'll see. Maybe Ryan Day can, but I'm down, Shep. Whatever you want.
Okay, we'll figure out whatever we're going to bet on this thing because I think Ohio State is the most complete team in the country. I don't disagree that LSU's resume and them beating Georgia the way they did earned them the number one seed. I don't argue with that. I think it's not a huge deal either way. You got to beat Clemson at some point anyway. But to me, from the start of the season all the way through the regular season, Ohio State has just been at a different level, and there's not been a day that they haven't been.
Did you guys stay with the Big Ten title game for the last play when the Wisconsin
yes.
quarterback almost served up his brain to science?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't think that poor lad was going to stand up after that. You're not. The touchdown is great, but it doesn't get you anywhere. It's a 2-score game. Time's expiring. He's trying to get to the pylon, and that Ohio State kid just lined him up and lit him up. I didn't think the kid would get up. It took him a moment, but he did get up and shake it off, and he was able to shake hands with the better opponent. God, was that a racking.
I'm glad you enjoyed some college football this weekend. It was a hilarious play to end that game. That I thought was going to screw my under, by the way.
What are you doing? The guy he didn't really get a chance to protect himself. He didn't lower his pads at all. He's just trying to get to the pylon. Was he crunched.
Trying to tell mom and dad he scored a touchdown in the Big Ten championship. Yeah. Unfortunately, he was unable to speak afterwards.
Yeah, pretty good Big Ten championship game. I thought it was a pretty good game.
Yeah, compelling for longer than I thought it'd be.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the Russell Wilson-Kirk Cousins Big Ten title game, but there's only been one of those.
But really, what was? Yeah. Maybe this sounds like too get-off-my-lawn-ish, but I have a problem with the conference championships anymore.
Oh, here we go.
Just
get off Chef's lawn.
The Big Ten has always played there in Indianapolis, but when you think Big Ten football, do you think indoors? When you think Big Ten football in November or December, do you think, controlled environments, playing inside, thinking about all that team speed?
Where should
and
they play at, Lambeau Field?
It feels a lot more Big Ten-like if you played the thing outside, wouldn't it? You don't exactly
Mac
look
wants
at those,
all football
I
inside.
Don't want a championship game decided in bad weather.
Then why does Ohio State and Michigan play in bad weather the week before?
You're talking colleges, not pros. I mean, colleges obviously aren't going to start building buildings with retractable roofs.
Could you imagine you get hit up for Ball State football?
Yeah, we want to put a retractable roof over Schumann Stadium, Mac. Can you chip in
with that chopper money?
I'd be curious to see, that Wisconsin team, the way their defensive line was playing the other night. I'd be curious to see them in the elements against Ohio State. I still think Ohio State ends up winning, but maybe that keeps it more of a game, too. I just think it's, when you think Big Ten football, I don't think controlled environment inside.
I understand what you're saying, but this is what we call progress, Nick.
My thought after the playoff stuff came out and the conference championships all went down was, we are not that far removed from a time when people argued against a playoff at all. And in that, those people, if they had their way, either Clemson, Ohio State, or LSU would not be playing for a championship. Most likely Clemson, given that they were the 3 seed. And so they would be the team with the best quarterback on the longest winning streak in college football, the defending national champions, not getting to play for a title, not getting to settle it on the field. And you now have people who want to expand it beyond 4 teams. And if you look at who these teams would be, are you telling me that Memphis or Utah when they lose to Oregon? Who is the team that's outside of this four that deserves a chance to play for the title? Who is the team?
What would actually be perfect this year, and I think would mean more entertaining, more games of more entertaining football, is if instead of doing a Final Four, you did a round-robin 3-team tournament, so you got to see LSU take on Clemson and Ohio State. You got to see Ohio State have to go through both Clemson and LSU. You get all of those, and so what? Maybe they split it.
Yeah, but what happens when they all go 1-1?
Then you split up the trophy 3 ways, and we get to watch a hell of a lot of good football.
That's
the worst idea I've ever heard.
That's
the worst idea.
You get more compelling games that way. You don't miss out on potentially not getting to see Joe Burrow take on Trevor Lawrence, which are probably going to be your next 2 number 1 overall picks.
Texter says Trevor Lawrence is not the best quarterback. Good God, you homer. Okay. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence was in this draft.
He's not the best quarterback.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's been better on the field this year. If Trevor Lawrence was in this draft, who do you think would go number one?
Ooh.
Really?
I don't think it's a coin flip. No. Joe Burrow is having a 1-year run like Cam Newton level at LSU. He is your Heisman winner, 95% of the vote. Okay, that's probably a little bit exaggerated.
No, it's going to be huge.
He is your clear-cut Heisman winner, best player in the game, clear-cut number one pick come April.
And Texter saying that Clemson wouldn't be favored over LSU. Yes, they would be. I promise you they would be. And we're going to get to see it in the national title game.
LSU was awfully good Saturday, man.
Yeah, they were. No, Burrow's awesome. He's going to be a great Cincinnati Bengal.
Well, is that all relative? What does it take to be a great Cincinnati Bengal?
I don't know. But he's going to be a great one.
I kept thinking that on watching the game Saturday. I'm like, God, it sucks. This guy's going to – maybe they'll finally win one playoff game with Burrow in charge there, going to his hometown team.
My favorite comment by a texter recently is responding to Shep's comment on how the Big Ten title game should be played outdoors. Shep said, this is my get-off-my-lawn moment. The texter says, actually, that's Shep's get-on-my-lawn comment.
I like that.
See what he did there?
That makes all the sense. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
That's good. I know it took a long way to get there.
Yikes. Really?
See if we could figure out this NFL hierarchy coming up on the score.
Sure, when we watch this tape, there are going to be a handful of things where, you know, if you played it back over again, you try to find a way to make sure that a guy like him doesn't beat you in the end. Listen, you're talking to me right after a tough loss, so are you telling me how I'm supposed to feel? All right, I don't feel encouraged. All right, I feel frustrated because we had opportunities earlier in the game offensively to take advantage of field position. We had a number of opportunities. We had missed assignments, so no, I'm not encouraged that way. All right, thanks.
Very snippy Sean Payton after a valiant effort in a loss, but that knocks them off the one seed line, and they'd be a road playoff team in the NFC if it ended today. This hour on the score brought to you by BetIndianaNews.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Hoops at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com.
Looking at the glory era, the golden era for tight end play in this National Football League. So many people thought, oh my God, what's the league going to do without Rob Gronkowski? Well, there have been some other guys who have carried on the torch quite nicely, and Travis Kelce scoring one out of the Wildcat over the weekend. That's fun stuff. George Kittle is a man after he catches the ball. He runs nasty.
He's an incredible football player. And he's strong and tough and angry and mean. And yes, he blocks the hell out of it, too. Like, when you watch these Niners games and you see they're like, Kyle Shanahan and the backfield by committee, almost every time it feels like there's an awesome block by George Kittle. Like, you like guys who are willing to engage. Like, he is
absolutely
a great run blocker as well as a big yak guy. But you like the yak guys?
Big yak guy.
He's a yak guy.
Big yak guy.
So they'd be a road team in the NFC. You on board with me, by the way, reseeding NFL playoffs?
I'm okay with a reseed. Sure, I have no problem with that. I think you play during the regular season. It ought to mean something, and it doesn't.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Dallas would get a home game. And I think that they're going to lose to the Rams this weekend. But it's not going to matter, because as long as they win their last two division games, they'll end up making the playoffs as the division winner.
I've heard it suggested today the Rams have been playing possum all year. They're just lying in the weeds, and now they're getting Todd Gurley going. And look who's not dead yet. It's your Los Angeles Rams. I don't think that's possible in the NFL.
So they just decided to score 6 points against the Ravens
reason? Right. Let's just let everybody think that we're finished and have Goff complete way fewer than 62% of his passes. This season, they looked really good last night. They did.
So what do you think about the idea when we talk about Mitch Trubisky compared to these other young quarterbacks? And it's clearly, I'm not talking about Mahomes. I'm not talking about Watson, even though those are the guys he's compared to most by you, me, and others because of the draft class. But just his era of young quarterbacks where there's lots of ups and downs. Progress not being totally linear.
Correct.
Right? Like Baker Mayfield, really good last seven games of last season. This year, it's been bad. Carson Wentz would have won an MVP, gets hurt. This year, been a lot of bad.
Right.
Jared Goff gets paid. Wentz, by the way, got paid. A lot of bad. Like, what do we make of the fact that now Goff is good again?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
We've had some occasions where even the best players in the league have been shut down at that position. I mean, we're not that far removed from Aaron Rodgers looking like he'd never played the game before. I don't know what to make of it. I know I don't want to get drunk off two Mitch Trubisky nice games.
I agree.
I thought Troy Aikman the other night when he was, and I love Troy on the broadcast. He and Joe Buck are my favorite number one team. I like listening to those guys, but I thought he was a victim of getting caught up in the moment and just describing sort of based on the vibe of the night what he was feeling at the time about Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. Sort of now Chicago's in really good hands now, aren't they? Because that's not what we were saying 3 weeks ago when we were wondering why in the hell Mitch Trubisky is pulled out of a game on Sunday Night Football with 3 minutes to go against the Rams.
I agree with you.
Quite a different narrative that
night.
Love
you, bro. Love you too, man. Love you. Good job, man.
Yeah, this is Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky mic'd up. They're just loving each other. Love you,
love
buddy.
You, bro. Love you too, man. Love you. Good job, man.
They just love each other. But And listen, it's instructive for me, you know, and I say this all the time that I think sometimes local media, because they go to the game and then they watch the game and then they go to the locker room and then they file their stories. They're not watching the rest of the NFL.
Right.
And so we can, they're the best experts on the local team, but not necessarily on the rest of the league, as opposed to, you know, we watch the Bears game for 3 hours and then we just keep watching the rest of the league for the next 6 hours. You can see the rest of the league a little bit clearer. It's instructive to not get too high or too low on guys like Trubisky. Like, I think Mahomes is an outlier here. Like, I think he's closer to Russell Wilson, where it's just going to keep going up and he's going to be an MVP candidate for the next decade plus. I think that's what it is with Mahomes, but maybe not. Like, maybe Mahomes will have a stretch. I don't think so with those skill position guys and his coach, but it hasn't happened to him yet. But almost everybody has had stretches of play where it's been mediocre or bad of this young quarterback crop.
It's hard to play quarterback in the National Football League.
Even though it's easier than it was before because the coaches are bending the system to you and you can't get hit and your receivers can go over the middle and they can't be jammed as much at the line. Like, it's easier than it ever was, but I do think it's tough to evaluate. Like, I had people texting me when Drew Locke comes in and has another good game and he's like, 2 for 2. There's another guy. Looks like he's better than Mitch. Like,
easy,
slow down.
Easy, easy, easy.
You said the same thing about Jeff Driskel. You said the same thing about Gardner Minshew. You're saying the same thing about David Blau.
For a half we did against David Blau. He lit the Bears defense up. 179 yards in his first 30 minutes of NFL quarterbacking.
Like, I know I've talked about this on the show a little bit and on Twitter some more, but I have no idea who the best young quarterback is in the NFC. I have no idea. If I'm giving you 26 and under quarterbacks, so you don't get Russell Wilson, but you get Wentz, you get Goff, you get Wentz, you get Goff, you get Trubisky, you get Daniel Jones, you get Dak Prescott, you get Kyler Murray.
If I could have my pick of that group, it would be Wentz.
I think it would be for me too, but people seem to think that's insane and that you would take Dak. I
don't want to take Dak, but I don't want to sign up for Wentz and a guy with a history of back problems and surgeries that he's had and knee problems that he's had either.
Totally fair.
I do not feel good about that.
I get it.
Even though he's already in a contract.
And what about Kyler? Because I think he maybe has the highest ceiling, but he's 5'8".
So much more, yeah.
He needs a ladder to get to the ceiling. Like, sure. I don't know what to do. Every young NFC quarterback has a huge flaw or two in my mind. Was that a Harry level joke?
No, that was the best. That's the best joke you've ever had.
The best joke I've ever had.
That's some of your best work.
Wow, thank you. I think
a low ceiling.
Yeah, clearly.
Or bar.
it's the low ceiling that even Kyler Murray can.
How old is Garoppolo? Is he out of this?
He's over your 26.
Is he over 26?
I want to say he spent 2014 was his first year in New England.
Yeah, he's 28.
Okay,
so I did 26 and under NFC quarterbacks.
And yeah, I go with Wentz. Although Shep's criticism of, we're talking NFC texters.
Yeah, just NFC 26 and under starting quarterbacks.
The criticism certainly is one that's a concern, but based on his skill set, I think he looks the part and plays the part better than the rest of them more consistently.
I do too, but I just think it's interesting that you can't do it definitively or with much confidence, right? Like, could you sit here definitively and say he's going to have a better career than Jared Goff, who's already won an NFC?
No, not based on that, right?
Right. Or Kyler Murray, or hell, Daniel Jones. I have no idea. I legitimately have no idea who the best young quarterback is in the NFC. And they've all, let's see. Dak's about to get a huge contract. Goff got one. Wentz got one. One's a number 2 overall pick in Mitch. One's a number 1 overall pick in Kyler. One's a number, 6 overall pick in Daniel Jones. Like, these are high pedigree dudes, either with money or draft position. And we all watch the NFL all day, every week. So, you know, none of us have any idea who the guy is.
No, you're right. We don't.
So I don't know what the conclusion of that is, but I guess it's just don't write your opinion on Mitch Trubisky in ink.
Well, I suppose that's correct, but I would not be betting on him long term to be what we would describe as a great quarterback. I would feel pretty good about wagering a large amount of money on that.
And listen, I can't. I'd obviously.
Would you?
Yeah, if it was binary, right? If it was like, hey, there's 10 G's on the floor, you get to pick it up. Is it going to be great or not great? I'll say not great. I think that's where the smart money is right now. But we just saw Jared Goff have an awesome year, then basically limp through the NFC playoffs, but they somehow win an NFC championship based on their run game and defense. He didn't really do much in that playoff run. Looked bad for a huge stretch of this year, and then recently look awesome again. So I don't know. I have no idea if Jared Goff's going to be worth that
awesome
money.
Last night against a team that some of us were ready to say, well, put them in the mix then. They can wind up getting to Miami. I said that about Seattle after their last performance. And
right.
What do they do?
So it's,
nothing.
I mean, it's not, you're right. It's not just quarterbacks. It's the whole league. It's really
and
tough.
And Rashad Penny is hurt too.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's no, I still think Seattle's defense isn't good enough for them to be great. I'd rank the NFC, San Fran and New Orleans, like 1A, 1B. I think if they played 10 times, each wins 5. I'd put Green Bay behind them and then figure out the, like, I don't love Dallas, Seattle, or who's the sixth one? Or Minnesota. Don't love either of those three, really. But it feels very, very wide open right now. And it's funny what happens when the Patriots dynasty goes away. Like the whole league.
Oh, no kidding.
Right? The whole league just feels very, very wide open.
Yeah, there are a couple of playoff teams, if the season ends today, that you have absolutely zero faith in. But there's eight, you could easily see 8 teams getting to the Super Bowl. Or 6. At least 6.
Yeah. That's probably
right.
You got
2 in the AFC and probably 4 in the NFC.
Yeah, so you're including Seattle.
I would include Seattle. I'm hoping last night, because Pete Carroll loves the game more than anybody else who's ever coached it, so I have to root for a guy like that to get to an important game.
He's a popular guy.
He loves it, yes.
He loves football.
And there are occasions when I think Green Bay is suspect, but I don't know.
Matt Miller has weighed in on Twitter on who would be the first quarterback taken in this year's draft if Trevor Lawrence was eligible, him v. Joe Burrow. To give you Matt Miller's answer, and we'll bring Shep in next on The Score.
Pour some sugar on all of us here, I guess. Great song.
The people talk.
I love Les's music breakdowns.
Rockin' Grabber.
Shep's going to have plenty of opportunity to talk music with him with his Who Do You Love performances. This segment brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer Heating, Cooling, and Electric. How you feeling, Shep?
Feeling good. Starting to plan out that show, topic-wise, things I've always wanted to talk to Les Grobstein about at 3 o'clock in the morning. So starting to put that list together because my Who Do You Love picks have been awful.
I went 1-2 and gained a game the standings.
I'm 2-0 with tonight's opportunity to bet against Eli Manning one more time pending. Even if it's the wrong side, like Boomer Esiason said it was, I've just had so much fun over my years betting against Eli Manning. This is sentimental.
Yeah, you got to roll with it. If he hangs him up, you'll remember these last moments.
Yeah, he's already made me money over the course of his career. But Shep, you're not good.
No, I'm not. I'm awful at this thing. Absolutely terrible at this thing. I'm going to get 5 hours with Les Grobstein to talk about how bad I am at
this.
Are you
betting tonight? Are you betting Giants-Eagles?
Hell no.
Danny is.
Staying away.
Okay, you're not touching it. Did you lose money all weekend?
Yes, I lost money all weekend. You see my Who Do You Love picks?
Well, I do, but I don't know how much you play those, and I'm guessing you play more than 3 games.
Or sometimes if you're like me and you forget who you picked on Who Do You Love, and then it's like, hey, you went 3-0 on Who Do You Love. Why'd I lose so much money this weekend? I should have bet my Who Do You Love picks.
I always play my Who Do You Love. That's why I love them. That's why I go play them. I believe in them, and then I believe in some more, and I got my brains beaten in over the weekend, just one after another. So I should probably keep it probably lay off tonight. Maybe go see a movie instead. Maybe go see Knives Out. I hear it's good. Have you heard about it?
Tell me more.
I've heard about Knives Out. I saw the trailer. It looked pretty good.
It looked pretty dark.
Yeah.
Pretty good cast. Maybe I'll go see that.
Speaking of dark movies, I was just talking to Tanny about it. I want to go see the Richard Jewell movie here before too long. Like, that one looks like
interestingly
dark to me.
It looks good. Clint Eastwood tells a good story. Sometimes.
And thank you so much, Danny, for your movie recommendation, your Netflix Marriage Story.
Did you watch it?
Yikes. I watched it last night. Yeah. It's got to be the most depressing movie I've ever seen in quite some time.
Okay, so I hadn't seen it yet, but my cousin who produces movies told me that it was awesome. And if you like Adam Driver, you've got to see it.
Yes, that is true. Those statements are true. Great acting. Adam Driver was great. Everyone was great, but good God, man.
He's getting nominated for everything for it. Like, that's going to be an Oscar buzz type of movie. Yeah, I heard.
Should I know him?
Adam Driver?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, he's been nominated before. He was nominated for his work in Black Klansman.
That is correct.
Yeah.
He's an awesome actor. He's maybe like the up-and-coming young actor of his generation. He's fantastic. And my cousin told me that that movie got to see it because I was texting him about Short Term 12. His movie got a bunch of good press, which you still haven't seen, right, Mac?
Correct.
You got to check it out. But The Ringer just wrote a piece about it, how it had one of the great casts in the last 10 years of film. And my cousin was the producer who put it together. It was Rami Malek and Brie Larson before they blew up. With a bunch of other good supporting actors like John Gallagher and others. But
nice.
They were in early on Brie Larson and Rami Malek.
That'll do it.
What has she been up to lately, Brie Larson? Since Room, she's kind of disappeared, hasn't she?
What did she do? Let me check what Brie Larson's recent IMDb credits are. I have no idea. Shep, you know?
I don't know, unfortunately. No. In the meantime, what did Matt Miller have to say about our little draft
debate? Oh, yeah, pay off the tease.
Oh, he said, really tough question, probably Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
So you say Trevor Lawrence over Joe Burrow. Avengers Endgame, she's had...
Small picture.
Yeah.
Small indie film.
Small film.
Captain Marvel, Kong, Skull Island, The Glass Castle.
Okay.
I don't know that one.
Art house movies.
Yeah, exactly. Small $20 million budgets. And then, yeah, she did have a funny little cameo in the Zach Galifianakis Between Two Ferns the movie. That's accurate as well. Chef, how much show do you have tonight? What are you doing with
45 minutes before Bulls and Raptors this evening. So we're going to do a little baseball winter meeting, see how both teams in town are kind of going in opposite directions, or at least that's the feel around parts of it, and recap some Week 13 that was in the NFL.
Danny, you see these texters? It's just 100 people texting in. Captain Marvel, you idiots. Avengers Endgame, you idiots. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not the biggest superhero movie,
yeah,
guys.
I'm not either. I probably have been to one or two of those.
It's probably probably 2 billion at the box office or so.
Avengers, something with the Ultron. I don't know what it is. Something with the Ultron.
The only way I want to see a superhero movie is if it's filmed in Chicago.
That's your criteria?
That's kind of like, if it's filmed here, all right, I'll check out the sites. And
that's a Shep movie take.
Yeah. And Helen Hunt is not in it.
Well, she can be in it, and she can just...
If she dies.
Well, then, finally!
Thanks
about
to,
time!
Thanks
Write
to,
that into a script.
Thanks to Bruce Levine and Boomer Esiason, they were on today. Kendrick Perkins and Hub Arkish are on tomorrow.
They're actually going to be hosting tomorrow. You two are off. It's going to be Kendrick and Hub.
That'd be a fine show. Nick Chepkowski's our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Put it in your calendar. We're at the Brat Stop on Friday. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.